This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
So, Aaron.
Yeah, Mike.
Want to talk about wrestling for a little while? Because that's pretty much all we have is a little bit. Talk about it.
Yeah, I'm okay. There were a couple things happened this weekend.
Yeah, there were a few things. Unfortunately, like New Japan didn't have any shows this past weekend.
No.
I mean, they had one on the 10th. That was a Young Lions show, Lions matches, and then the rest of the card was, there was a couple New Japan guys, but then they had some people from the, Kaientai Dojo and Michinoku Pro, so it was definitely not a typical New Japan card.
Right.
What was kind of cool, though, there was no commentary at all. There was one hard camera that was on the ring, and it just took up the, the whole ring. Was it? The ring apron had no advertisements on it. The corner posts had no advertisements on them like they do at a normal New Japan show.
Right.
So, and it looked like there was maybe enough room for a few hundred people in the building they filmed in. So that was a very different experience. For New Japan, for me, I'd never seen anything like that with them before. But I guess that is a regular thing when they do these small cards. That's primarily for the Young Lions to get some in-ring experience.
Right. Yeah, I mean it makes sense. It's kind of like what NXT was a while ago.
Yeah, exactly. So
you know,
but otherwise, there was a lot of wrestling this past weekend.
Yeah, I watched a lot of wrestling this past weekend.
As did I. Do you want to talk about the Hall of Fame at all?
Yeah, I mean, we could hit the Hall of Fame a little bit. What did you think overall for the night? Because I have very strong feelings.
Definitely blown away by anybody's speech in particular. Practically the best speech was that JJ kid.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It was short. His speech, that is. It was short. It was funny. He had some great jokes and... Yeah, that was it. And then everyone bitched about Kid Rock, but once again, like as a celebrity, he went out there, he said a few things, he didn't Mr. T it. He pointed the focus on the wrestling and said thank you and left. So I mean,
yeah, I mean he was in and out in just a couple minutes.
Yeah,
unlike everybody else, like Goldberg, when he's like, oh, I'm going to keep this short, just like my matches. I was like, oh, thank goodness. And then he went on for like 35 minutes.
Yeah. You know? Ivory's, I thought, started out great, and then when she started talking about the marriage shit at the end, she lost me there.
Yep, I felt the same way. I was really into her speech up until then. I thought Edge and Christian were funny. I thought the Dudleys, for the most part, were really good.
They seemed to, and then the whole bit with Devon being office, and like that was kind of weird.
Yeah, and I mean, I get them putting a guy through a table, but like it just felt hackneyed.
Yeah, I was really out of place.
Hillbilly Jim, I went in with zero expectation, and I left with zero expectation.
Same here. So I thought Jeff Jarrett's was good.
Jeff Jarrett's was great until they started singing the song that he and Road Dogg were not prepared to sing.
Yeah, that seemed out of place.
And I'm like 90% sure the only reason why they were singing it was because of the Pritchard podcast.
Probably indeed. But I thought Jarrett's was good. He definitely showed some respect, and it was kind of weird hearing someone say Shawn Michaels. Someone from like Jarrett's generation saying that Shawn Michaels is the greatest wrestler of all time. I mean, I can't disagree with him, but it's kind of neat, I guess, or different.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I completely forgot about Mark
like
Henry.
Bipolar. Yeah, his was bipolar almost.
Yeah, it was really weird. It was about, I don't know, like 11:30 almost. And I'm watching and I was like, all right, they still have, the warrior thing and they have Goldberg. Yeah. And then I was like, oh crap, they still have Mark Henry too. I'm like, this is going to go till almost 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was not that far off. But that's a long day.
Especially... Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Here's the thing that bothered me about Mark Henry's is he went from crying, talking about Owen Hart to Martha trying to say you need to let Owen be inducted into the Hall of Fame to be here with his peers, and then went right into doing sexual chocolate gimmick.
Yeah.
Like, that was such a bad segue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't the best Hall of Fame.
No, I mean, look, the people going in, I like Ivory, I like the Dudley Boys. Yeah. Those were the two I was looking forward to seeing, and those were, for me, those were probably the two best. So, you know, I wasn't expecting a whole lot.
Yeah, the internet dropped at my house.
Ah, okay. You were kind of in and out for a little bit, and then you finally just, you disappeared, and then the call dropped.
I had a feeling it was going to be shitty because I was talking, and it's like you couldn't hear me talk, so I was like, but I switched to my actual phone, and I'm on my data.
Oh, so okay.
Anyhow, well, one of the things I was saying was Mark Henry's speech I felt was kind of bipolarish, and that's because he's talking about Owen Hart and talking directly to Martha about how she needs to let him be here to be with his peers and so that Oge and Athena can see, you know, how much everyone loves and respects their dad. And then he went right into talking about sexual chocolate.
Yeah.
So it was like, that was a bad segue. So, but I think as a whole for me, I think you had the year when I went to the Hall of Fame, which is when Ric Flair was being inducted and his speech got cut short because of time. People wanted to hear what he had to say. And then The Rock droned on for an hour and a half about no one gave a shit because they were inducting in Rocky Johnson and Peter Maivia.
Yeah.
And I think the year after that, they tried to edit people's time and it wasn't good because there's certain people you want to hear everything they have to say. And there's certain people you don't.
Yeah, that's for me. Like, you know, I think you brought up Mr. T before.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need him to go. And I think they were making fun of him a little bit this year.
Yeah, they made fun of him this year big time, yeah.
You know, but you don't need someone to go on for, you know, 25 minutes if they're like one of those legacy kind of inductees. You know, like the Hillbilly Jim stuff, some of the stuff at the beginning I was kind of interested in when he was talking about, you know, how he got into the company and whatever. Oh, I got a couple people I want to mention. Like, oh, that's interesting. Let's hear about some
exactly.
Of this. But then, you know, it just went on way too long. And it's the same thing, you know, like with Goldberg. I don't care about his kid. I don't care that he did any of this for his kid.
About his kid, I don't care about Goldberg either. So.
Well, that's the thing. I didn't like him when he was in WCW. I didn't like him when he was in WWE. I didn't like him when he came back to WWE. So now, like, you know, the only amusing part was when he was talking about smashing his hand and his head on the door or whatever.
Right. And he broke his hand and,
you know.
I think they need to take some of these guys and just be dicks about it. Be like, Hillbilly, you get 20 minutes. That's it. You know?
Yeah.
And you know, Dudley's, you get 45 minutes to do your speech.
There's no reason the Hall of Fame needs to be 4.5 hours long.
No, they really can't let it get away from them. Like, they need to find a happy medium where they basically say, like, when you have someone like, say, Ric Flair going in, you let him talk as long as he wants. When you have someone like Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, you know what I mean? You let them talk as long as they want. When you have someone like Hillbilly Jim going in, you get 15 minutes.
Yeah,
you have, like, a celebrity going in, like The Rock or, I mean, a Kid Rock or these Warrior Award things. You get 15 minutes.
Yeah. And Dana Warrior, did she talk for way longer than I thought she normally did?
You get like 5 minutes to do your opening speech. So.
Yeah.
So NXT TakeOver?
TakeOver, yeah.
Did you watch the whole show?
Absolutely.
I thought it was excellent, except for the women's match.
I like the women's match.
Oh, see, that was my least favorite match on the card. Well, I watched everything.
I'll put it this way. It was not my favorite match of the night, but I didn't have a match that I did not get some enjoyment out of.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, I mean, it's typical NXT. There's usually like two matches that are amazing.
Yeah.
One match that I'm like, it's really good. And then like one or two matches that I went in like not really caring about.
Yeah. I agree with that. But I mean, think about NXT went just about 3 hours. They had five matches. Even the women's match that I didn't care much for was a solid match. They were all solid matches.
Yeah.
And I know we chatted about that a little bit on the interweb there. But I think I'm going to go back to it's the build. It's the fact that they have that 1 hour show every week. So everything's a slow build. So that when you finally get to the matches, they mean something.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't remember where I saw the comment, but someone said something about how NXT has a roster that's basically the same size as like the Raw or SmackDown roster.
Really?
You know, well, I mean, if you think about all the people that are there.
I mean, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. There's a lot of talent that we never see.
Yeah. And instead of having 3 hours or 2 hours plus monthly pay-per-views and everything, they have an hour a week.
You know, and they do a super show. Like, they do a takeover event like once every couple months, basically. They do like 6 a year. Yeah, I mean,
it's usually before the big pay-per-views, and then they'll do like two others somewhere in the year.
Yeah, exactly.
And like you said, they have, even with an hour a week or whatever, they have so much time to build. Like the Gargano Ciampa thing.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, the whole bit, I think, you know, it would have, I think if it happened before they both got hurt.
Yep.
I don't think it would have had as big a feeling for the payoff, if you know what I mean.
No, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, this would have been great. Year long build.
But the fact that, you know, that Ciampa was hurt for a while and like you didn't get that resolution for the whole turn.
Yep.
And then he came back and then Gargano was out for a bit.
Yep.
You know, and then, like when finally everything happened, you're just like, oh man, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah. And they had a great match.
Yeah. And I, not only that, on the pre-show, I don't know if you watched it or not.
No, I did not.
Candice had a freaking amazing promo.
That doesn't surprise me. She was,
you know, she was at the table with everyone talking for a bit, and they were asking her questions. And by the end, she was so choked up about how afraid she was for her husband and how upset she was for, you know, their best friend that this happened. Like, they were asking her questions and she couldn't even get words out.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And you're just like, you know what? Who on the main roster does stuff like this?
Yeah, nobody.
You know, like, she pulled up one of the best. I mean, that was like some Miss Elizabeth at WrestleMania 7 crap right there.
I'll have to go back and check that out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the rest of the pre-show was kind of meh. But she was right towards the end of it when she came on the panel. And it was one of the best, I'd say one of the best segments of the whole night.
I'll have to go back and check that out.
Yeah.
Match-wise, ladder match.
Ladder match was great.
I didn't dislike it. You know, like I said, I enjoyed it just basically every match. I thought the ladder match was fantastic.
For me, if people did not know who Ricochet was going into the match, the fact that, what was it, like a minute in, he's already like jumping up to the top rope and doing the moonsault, whatever, off all the people. Right then and there, because this was the first time he'd been in the ring, right, for NXT?
This is his first televised appearance for NXT in a match, yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's the first match of the weekend.
Yeah.
And he goes right up at the beginning and gets everyone right into it. And it was fantastic. Yeah.
I mean, he did that opening segment, you know, with, I almost said No Way Jose, with Velveteen Dream, and that just popped everybody. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's like, yeah, Ricochet's awesome. Like, I didn't expect him to win the belt. I would have liked it. I didn't expect him to. I thought either Adam Cole or EC3 was going to walk away with the title. Going even though it was EC3's match debut as well.
Going into it, I thought it would be Adam Cole or Ricochet. Because Velveteen Dream, there's something about him I just can't get behind. You know, he's not bad. Actually, the guy, he puts on a great performance.
So, yeah, he's growing on me.
But I'm still not there yet.
Yeah.
EC3, I didn't really see him doing it. Right. Who was it? Killian Dane. I don't see him winning belts. I don't know why.
He's a good big man, but yeah, I don't see him winning belts either.
And I just forgot who else. The
Lars Sullivan.
Yeah, I don't like him.
I like Lars. He's still, you know, he's got quite a ways to go. I like Lars, but I think it's just because he's like a hard-nosed, heavy-hitting type of guy. And I don't know. I he had a feud with Oney Lorcan, and that kind of got me behind him, watching that feud with Lorcan and their matches together. So.
Yeah.
But no, I thought it was a great match. I thought there was some great spots. The only groan spot for me was when they did that mirrored thing where they had the ladder on the announce table and on the ring.
And they broke it to one side, and then they went out and did to the other three.
Yeah, basically. You had the three guys doing the same thing on each side,
yeah,
with Lars and Killian beating up the... I don't see that. Like when they threw Ricochet back and forth, that was cool.
Oh, yeah, that was great. With
that was cool.
Big guys. That was pretty terrific.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. That was pretty cool. But otherwise, I don't like it when they did that mirrored thing through the ladders.
Yeah.
When they did the first one, it was like, holy shit. And then when they did the second one, it took away from the first one and made the second one not look as cool.
Yeah, well, because the carnage in the second one wasn't as great as the first one.
Fair. Yes, absolutely. That's just me kind of being picky of the matter, but
yeah.
No, I thought it was a great match. A lot of great spots in the match. Like you said, Ricochet definitely quote unquote arrived for anyone that didn't know him.
Yeah.
And then Adam Cole going over, that was good. I was a big fan of that.
Yeah. I think with you know, I mean, obviously with WrestleMania time and the roster shakeup stuff that they're doing, you know there were going to be people called up.
Yeah.
People were called up. And, you know, you always wonder, all right, who's going to be the next, you know, the next people to take over some of those spots.
And, right.
I mean, Ricochet and EC3 are going to slide right in with no problems.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
You know, yeah, and you still have, you know, Drew McIntyre will be back soon, I think.
Yeah. He was there that weekend. Like
he was on the panel a bit talking too.
Yeah. Okay. Usually we get the people in the crowd. We didn't really get anyone in the crowd this time.
The only one was Alice Cooper's guitarist. And I was like,
Dustin and Jeff Jarrett.
Oh yeah.
At one point too.
yeah. Trying to like, match
that for the Dusty Rhodes Classic.
Final. Alice Cooper's guitar players in the crowd. That's a weird celebrity to bring in. I thought
that was kind of weird as well, but then
it
we
made
found
more
out
sense when she played Nakamura to the ring, but
yeah. Yeah. So, the Dusty Classic.
I mean, you know,
again, it was better than I thought it would be. But I didn't like I don't like finishes where like Roddy just jumped on Pete Dunne for no reason. It's like, why would you go through this 20-minute match and then jump the guy at the end? You know, like, it just, there was no reason why he made the decision right then and there. It was like, it was a premeditated thing. He didn't try to stop him from pinning anybody else any other time during the match until that moment.
Yeah.
So that, it kind of took it away from me. Like when Barry Windham turned on Lex Luger back at Clash of the Champions, they had teased it for weeks with the Horseman trying to get into Barry's head to say Luger was no good for him. And then Luger accidentally hit Windham, which then gave Windham a reason to turn on him, you know?
Right.
Whereas in this, like, other than the invite that Roddy got from the Undisputed Era months ago, there's nothing leading up to this that gives you a reason why Pete Dunne didn't accidentally hit Roddy at any time during the match, or, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't make sense being out of the blue like that.
Yeah, and a lot of it, you know, like you were saying, during the match, like, if he was going to turn, why did he go so far as a partner?
Yeah. 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 And beat up, you know, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly so much like he did.
Right. You know, I mean, so I was wondering how Adam Cole was going to do that match after being in the ladder match, and him getting taken out at the beginning makes a lot of sense.
It did. It did.
But it brings me to why I don't like triple threats or six-man and stuff. Like, you know, I not meaning to skip ahead to WrestleMania, but the triple threat for the IC belt.
Yeah.
Where it was constant action going back and forth, like that everything.
Fantastic.
That's great. That's what I want to see in these matches. I don't want to see one guy laying outside for 20 minutes when two other people do a whole bunch of stuff, you know, or in the women's battle royal where she was out of the ring for the entire time and all of a sudden she just comes back in, does a move and wins. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, when you're out of the ring that long, you basically should be disqualified. If you're able-bodied to get back in the ring and you're a babyface especially, you should be disqualified. Because that was bullshit. That was so stupid.
You know, and the fact that the crowd pop when Bayley won, when she turned on Sasha and threw her out, and everyone thought she was a huge ovation, and then Jacqueline's in the ring, not Jacqueline, Naomi, throws her out, and it's like, okay.
This, crickets.
You know, who cares?
Yeah, it was crickets. So, that was stupid. Anyways, going back to TakeOver.
Yeah.
The only thing good that came out of that for me, that Dusty Rhodes classic finale or whatever, is the fact that later on Pete Dunne tweeted a photo of a British Strong Style.
Yeah.
And then the next day, because they had some great matches at Access and some tournaments at Access that I would love to see them put on the network. I hope they do. Because, like, they had a tournament all weekend for the NXT Women's, the North American, the Tag Team, and the UK title. They had tournaments going through the weekend, and then on Sunday they had the finals of all those tournaments. You know, and so like Adam Cole had to wrestle Sunday morning and defend the North American Championship. I think it was against Dijak. And, you know, I thought that was cool. I'd like to see all those matches. Plus, they had other matches on there, like Toni Storm defended the Progress Women's Championship against Lacey Evans. The Evolve Tag Team Champions defended the belts against TM61 or somebody. I can't remember now who. Cassius Ohno wrestled Walter from WXW in Progress one day, and then he wrestled, who did he wrestle another day? Shit, I can't remember. Oh, Keith Lee, the Evolve champion one day.
Okay.
And Travis Banks defended the Progress title on one of the shows. So, like, I would love to see those matches that they had at Access, like, put up on the network at some point. Those would be fun to watch.
Yeah.
But anyways, on that Sunday morning, Mustache Mountain had the tag match against the Undisputed Era. And Mustache Mountain and Pete Lee together are British Strong Style.
Right.
So, of course, they basically ran an angle. So I think we're going to see in the future on NXT television, you know, the six-man tag stuff going on between British Strong Style and Undisputed Era. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, all those guys are super talented, so.
Yeah. I mean, you know you're not going to get anything but good matches out of those guys, so.
Yep.
What did you think of Almas against Aleister Black?
You know what? I've decided something.
Yeah.
I don't really like Aleister Black that much.
Paul doesn't like him because of his tattoos. Or is that you?
I said some of his tattoos are really terrible and it distracts me. Like that
maybe that's
really
what it was
bad vampire face on his back.
Yeah.
But
see, I'm a big Tommy End fan. Aleister Black is Tommy End, so I like him.
He's not bad. But you know, I don't know what it is. I just don't really care.
He does seem an odd fit for me to be champion, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it could be a way to get Almas up to the main roster.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was up in the Royal Rumble, and he was in the ring for a long while. So
yes, he was. Quite a long while.
You know, but
maybe he'll beat the superstar shakeup.
For me, Almas, you know, when he first came up and they were hyping him as he's this amazing, you know, this amazing wrestler, in his first little while, we're like, I don't get it.
I don't see it anywhere.
The last maybe 6 months to a year, he is.
I'd say the last 6 months.
You know,
A year ago, he lost the opening WrestleMania takeover to Aleister Black. So,
okay, that was the last WrestleMania one.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I'd say the last 6 months, he's been like really killing it.
Oh yeah,
6-8 months. You know.
Yeah. I mean, it's been at least 3 takeovers where his matches have been fantastic.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So. Yeah, I mean, I get it now with him. Yeah. I think. You know.
And then of course, Gargano Ciampa.
Oh my goodness! I mean, for you, is that your match of the weekend?
I don't know. I didn't really pick one, but boy, that was a hell of a good match.
I loved every bit of that match. It was vicious. It told the story that it needed to tell. You know, and even at the end, no matter like how terrible everything was, when Gargano had the broken crutch,
yeah,
and he still wasn't going to hit his friend with it.
Dude, when he broke that crutch, the first thing I thought of was Tully Blanchard, Magnum TA, Starrcade 86, I Quit match for the U.S. title in the steel cage. I'm like, if he drives that into his head, holy crap.
Oh, but, yeah. You know, but then you get that visual of him sitting down next to him, like after the cruiserweight match.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then of course Ciampa goes, you know, to hit him.
Immediately tries to take his head off with the brace from his knee.
Yeah. But yeah. Oh my goodness, every bit of that match. And I mean, when they pulled up the mats on the outside and I mean, when
Ciampa took that powerbomb on the floor.
Oh my goodness.
Like he took every bit of that powerbomb on the floor. Holy crap.
Yeah. And they did the suplex off the announce table onto the floor.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, that was what is going on here? Like they were really, oh my goodness.
Yeah. That was a fantastic match.
Fantastic.
Those two guys, 37 minutes, they went out there and killed themselves basically.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that was absolutely my match of the weekend.
When Gargano went for that swipe, and then he ended up putting on, and then, I mean, sorry, when Ciampa went for that swipe and Gargano ducked, and then he went for the Gargano escape, and Ciampa still had the brace, and then all of a sudden he flipped around for that STF.
Yeah.
The visual of him wrapping that brace on his face and then just yanking back Ciampa. Immediately tapping out. Oh my God. That was so gratifying. You know? It felt so good.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. And what about his entrance? Ciampa's entrance? No music? Just the crowd booing him?
Was that? Oh, so good.
That was so intense. Like, even the fucking Ciampa chant was perfect.
Yeah.
Because I can't think of the word. All I can think of is aggressive. But it wasn't vulgar for the sake of vulgarity. It was how they really felt.
Yeah.
And it's like that. I mean, the only person that gets booed that bad on the main roster is Roman Reigns. And that's because they hate the character and not they hate the position. They don't like him as a wrestler. They don't want him there. So that's not real heel heat. That's we don't like you heat.
Yeah.
This heat that Ciampa has is white hot heel heat.
Oh yeah. You know, I mean you could drop those two guys in any territory, in any era, and it would be you know, and it would be a huge draw.
And I don't think their fight's over.
Oh, absolutely not.
Their fight can't be over. There's gotta be more from this. Way more from this.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's get on to Mania. There's a lot of matches to briefly talk about, you know, 14 of them. Pre-show, Men's Battle Royal. They went 15 minutes. Matt Hardy won, last limiting Baron Corbin. What'd you think of Bray showing up?
Who cares?
And now they're a tag team.
Yeah.
Because... Yeah. Apparently going into the lake of whatever sucked the Sister Abigail out of him.
Listen, how many more times are we going to see Bray go up against somebody, lose a feud, and then something happens and all of a sudden they're a tag team? Like, didn't he just do this with Randy Orton?
Pretty much, yeah.
whatever.
Cruiserweight Championship Finals. Cedric Alexander against Mustafa Ali. They went 12 and a half minutes.
Pretty solid match.
Cedric Alexander won. There was a lot of heart.
Yeah.
You say in soul.
Meh.
You're not gonna do the gimmick that killed me for the match?
No. I'm not gonna do anything.
I understand that. Where Cedric kept screaming at Mustafa to have heart and Ali screaming at Cedric to have soul and
no.
Oh, it took me out of it completely. Like I know those guys could put on a hell of a match, but that yelling at each other to have heart and soul thing just killed me. Naomi won the women's uterine and fallopian shaped battle royal trophy.
Yeah, hated it. I liked the match. The thing I hated about the men's match is that there were no like weird surprise entrants.
I hated that all the men started in the ring, and there was no, so you had no idea who was in it without looking. And like you said, surprises.
You know, I liked that the women had, you know, the five or six from NXT, and you know, like there were a couple people that you're like, oh cool, like let's see who this is. And I really liked how the NXT women joined
together.
I didn't like the start of the match when all, you know, 18 people started stomping on one person and then tossed them. And then they went to another person.
And then tossed them,
But when it started to break down, I liked how the NXT ladies stuck together.
Yeah, well, they picked Kairi Sane next to beat her up. And then the rest of the NXT girls jumped in, and that's when they they all... And I was disappointed. I mean, I like Peyton Royce a lot. And I between the iconic duo of Peyton Royce and Billie Kay... I like Peyton Royce better.
Right.
I was surprised Billy wasn't in there.
Yeah,
I don't know. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I was very confused by that. Unless...
I mean, they could have put her in. They could have had a 21-woman battle. No one would have counted them.
Seriously, you could have taken Bianca Belair out of that match, and everybody would have cheered that decision. I hate that stupid hair whip.
Oh, yeah. No, that got over big time, though. That got a big pop when she hit Becky Lynch with it. That was the other thing. Becky Lynch gets her solo entrance. And then all the other girls come out together to generic WrestleMania music because they must have been at commercial break. Yeah. And then it's like they come back from commercial break and now Bayley and Sasha
get there. Yeah. Yep.
And like you said earlier, when Bayley turned on Sasha and won the match, everyone loved it. And then when Naomi's like, oh, hey, I was hiding on the floor for the last 9 minutes.
Yep. Just like the Women's Battle Royal. Royal Rumble.
Oh, Seth Rollins defeated The Miz and Finn Balor to win the Intercontinental Championship and become become a Grand Slam champion.
Love that.
It was a fantastic match.
Yeah. That's especially after the Women's Battle Royale.
Yeah.
I mean, if you needed to get the crowd back into it, especially if you're going to get them into sitting for 7 hours, you know, another, how much time was that? Another 6 hours, I guess, of wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Then, you know. It had to be done. And that match, it did everything. Great action, good pace, good finish. It was all good.
They didn't have the big tripod thing out there on the ringside like last pay-per-view, but they had that weird box in the middle. And did you see that on the hard camera side in the middle of the wall? They had this weird like electrical box or something.
No, honestly, I didn't even notice.
Oh, yeah. Go back and watch. Miz takes a bump into that when Seth Rollins does his dive through the ropes.
Okay.
You can see Miz clutching his side for the rest of the match. And you can see an indentation on his body from that box, whatever it was. Yeah, but this was a fantastic match. Miz is went from being a guy I hated years ago, just being indifferent hated, to like I enjoy it when he's in the ring.
Oh, absolutely.
I love his promos. I like his in-ring work. You notice he didn't do a single Daniel Bryan mocking thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think we'll see him do those anymore.
We could finally get a payoff.
Yeah, maybe. Charlotte defeated Asuka by submission retain the women's title.
Surprised the heck out of me.
That shocked the shit out of me.
But you know what? That's what you need.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know? It's a good match.
Oh, it was a great match. She
put in figure eight the first time, Asuka tapped out.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. I was so freaking shocked and surprised.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, when she said that Charlotte was ready for Asuka, that was cool.
Oh, yeah. You know, and when Charlotte's elbow, like right, her forearm, whatever, when she cut it on I didn't even see what cut her arm.
Yeah, I couldn't figure when she cut that on either, yeah.
But she is so good. I mean, I don't know if she was, like, legitimately unable to use her arm. But the fact that the arm, you know, she was selling that it's bleeding, it's hurt, it's whatever.
Yeah.
And when she went to do the figure eight, she was holding the arm to her body.
Yeah.
You know, there's so few people have that in-ring psychology to stick with something like that these days.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like what we grew up with, that everybody had it, but now it's so many more high spots and everything else. But
I mean,
man,
even
she's good.
Go ahead.
She's really good.
Oh yeah. I loved her entrance.
Oh,
when they play
her father's music to start.
Her father's music to start, and then they did that whole like kind of tribute to Triple H thing, you know, a few years ago, and he came out as the king and the throne, and it was her and Sasha and Alexa Bliss that were dressed up as like the goddess serpents or something. Yeah. And then this time, you know, she had her three Trojan warriors or whatever. Let's see here. Jinder Mahal beat Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, and Rusev in a fatal four-way for the U.S. title. Not a fan.
Nope.
The pop for Rusev kind of shows that they're going to change the title. It should have gone to him or Bobby Roode, but whatever.
No, but, you know, he's a victim of getting over on his own.
Yep. And now we get Jinder Mahal
for him.
Like Zack Ryder, yeah. Now we get Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton feuding again because we needed
Are you excited? U.S. title instead of the world title? I can't wait. Those matches were
so
good.
Not the world title.
Jeez.
Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey defeated Triple H and Stephanie McMahon by submission. That didn't surprise me that they won. What surprised me was how good the match was.
Yeah. What also surprised me is how early the match was.
Yeah, that too. How early on I thought Triple H and Stephanie's entrance was stupid. Yeah.
With the motorcycles?
Yeah. Stephanie looks to death. I like the fact that Ronda Rousey came out with the little, you know, kilt on and everything. Yeah. But that match was surprisingly, like, it surprised me how good it was, how early on the card it was, how long they went. Like,
I think that was the longest match of the night, someone said.
Let's see, they went 20 minutes.
Oh, maybe
40 seconds. And AJ and Nakamura, 20 minutes, 20 seconds. So it was the longest match of the night.
You know, for me, the only nitpick I had on the match is that towards the end, there were a few moments where it looked like Ronda was waiting for a signal to do something, you know.
Yeah. Well, like, there was a...
She looked tentative a little bit. But
there was a cool movement. Go ahead.
When she was on and in the flow of doing whatever she was doing, she was great. Like, I was very impressed with her in the ring.
Yeah, me too. There was a cool moment where she had Triple H down and she grabbed his leg and did, like, that thing roll up to pick him up.
Yeah.
And she seemed to have no trouble getting him up on her shoulders. But then Stephanie was, like, 20 seconds late for her spot
that could have been it also. There was a little bit of miscommunication in a couple places.
Yeah.
But overall, I loved it.
I really liked it when she had the armbar locked on Stephanie and she was yelling at Stephanie about, like, I can't remember exactly what she was saying. And then she just goes too late and then wham, you know what I mean? Like, that was like basically looked like she broke her arm. That was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like, you had your chance, but now it's over. It's too late. That was cool. I enjoyed that thoroughly. Let's see here. Oh, the Bludgeon Brothers beat the Usos in New Day in about 6 minutes to win the tag titles. I liked how short that was.
I did not like any bit of this.
I'm a big fan. How short the match was.
I'm a big fan of tag team wrestling.
Me too.
And WrestleMania proved exactly how much Vince hates tag team wrestling.
Oh yeah, big time.
You had a terrible squash match in one match, and you had the other tag belt was won by a 10-year-old and a guy. Ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. When you have teams like the Revival, like the whatever they're calling the Bullet Club now, you had like the New Day, you have so many amazing tag teams. Why do you keep having to reduce it to like literal jokes all the time?
I agree, but my point of being, I liked how short this match was. was the fact that we didn't get a 20-minute match with these three teams.
Right. Well, you knew it wasn't going to happen with the Bludgeon Brothers. I'm surprised. Yeah. I'm surprised it went six minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we get the whole gaga with John Cena coming out. Yeah. Now, I'll say this. I enjoyed them showing John Cena in the crowd throughout the earlier in the evening.
Yeah.
Thought that was good. Cena comes out, and then the ref comes out and is like, no, he's not coming out. And then Elias comes out, and I liked it when Elias said, were you expecting somebody else? That was good.
Yeah, you want to talk about getting heat?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time. And then, you know, Cena, of course, lets him sing a little bit, and then he beats him up.
Yeah.
And then The Undertaker actually came out, and that match was exactly what it needed to be.
Yeah.
A 2-minute and 45-second squash of John Cena. And not because it was John Cena. It could have been anybody against The Undertaker. And that's what they needed for Undertaker to try to get some, you know.
You know, and not.
Some heat back. Huh?
Not only was it like 2.5 minutes long, Undertaker looked good.
He looked good. Yes, he did. And everything he did.
Everything.
You know.
Like, he went up for old school and did not, you know, he didn't look like he was wavering at all.
Yeah.
Like everything he did, he was crisp and he was on, and it looks like, you know, whatever surgery he's had,
yep,
you know, to fix up his issues, it looks like he is back and, you know, at how old? 53, 54? He's in the best shape he's been in years.
The choke slam, he got Cena up on that choke slam.
Yeah.
And then I liked it when
it also helps that Cena is good.
Yes.
You know, because he's going to help make him look better. But I agree with you. You know,
I like the fact that you have Cena, who 10 years ago, his ego would not have allowed this to happen probably, or 5 years ago. But at this point in his career, he's just like, yeah, let's make him look good.
Yeah.
You know, because Cena knows that he's not going to lose any heat. He's not going to lose any credibility over this.
Well, that's the thing. There are some wrestlers that don't need belts, that don't need wins, loss, like it doesn't matter. Like Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho doesn't matter. Yep.
You know, he can come in, he can lose a match. He could have been the guy that No Way Jose beat on Raw.
Yeah.
And it would not have affected Chris Jericho at all.
Nope, it wouldn't have.
Cena's the same way.
Yeah.
You know, he's been around forever. Everyone knows what he is.
Yep.
You know what you're going to get with him. If they decide to give him another run with the belt, you know, as like a, hey, thank you for your career, people would buy it.
I could see him holding the Universal title because he hasn't.
Yeah.
You know? Just because the fact that he hasn't. Otherwise, yeah, you're right. I mean, but him going out there, you know, when he did the proto bomb, I'll always call that the proto bomb to Taker. Yeah. And then he's like, I'm going to do the 5-knuckle shuffle now. And then when he came off the ropes and Taker sat up and seemed to like fell down scared.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And then he took that. That's the best tombstone Taker has given anyone since the WrestleMania 25 when he did the jumping tombstone to Shawn Michaels.
Oh my God, that was the best.
You know, like that's the best tombstone. Like that was a good one. And 1, 2, 3, done. No kick out, no nothing.
Yeah.
That was perfect. That's exactly what it needed to be. What do you think about the fact they've announced Undertaker wrestling in Saudi Arabia against Rusev in a casket match?
I don't get it. But, I mean, hey, look, they're trying to build the audience over there.
Yeah.
You know?
I think Rusev is a guy that could give The Undertaker a hell of a match, make him look, you know, make The Undertaker look like The Undertaker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, I mean, maybe Rusev is excited about wrestling The Undertaker because no one does anymore.
So, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, a lot of the newer, you know, the guys that have come in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
Who, you know, The Undertaker's basically been a one-off at WrestleMania or the, what was it, the Survivor Series or SummerSlam the 1 year?
He wrestled Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Right? And then he did like a tag with the Shield a few years ago when the Shield was before they broke up, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah, but like a lot of the newer guys, they'll never get to wrestle the Undertaker.
Nope.
You know, so
it's kind of almost like wrestling Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I think anyone would jump at the opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude is one of the all-time greats.
Tag team match. Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon defeated Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Again, I was surprised at the finish of this match because I figured Owens and Zayn would need to get their jobs back. And everyone was saying that either Daniel Bryan or Shane was going to turn on one or the other type of thing, probably, but
yeah,
whatever. They went 15 minutes, 15 and a half. I didn't like how much time Daniel Bryan spent on the floor.
Well, I mean, they did beat the crap out of him to start the match.
Yeah, you know, that is a fact.
And he hasn't wrestled in 3 years, so it takes him longer to recover. I did like how you can tell he has changed some of his moveset to protect himself a bit more.
Like the corner drop kick, so he grabs the top rope now so he doesn't land on his head.
Yeah, and kind of flips himself over. And also, instead of diving through the ropes, he did a baseball slide.
Yep.
You know, like I'm glad, because when he was coming back, I was nervous that...
I was too.
You know, it would be one of those, you know, don't do everything that you always did, kind of like Edge, or, you know, and then you just get hurt again and it would be done.
Right. Yeah, no, I just, and you know, like the subtle changes, him grabbing the top rope on those corner drop kicks. I mean, that's going to be a lot, you know, make a huge difference. And he gets to keep that aggressive move in his arsenal, you know? So,
yeah.
Man, so but yeah, bad. I thought he looked good in the old yes lock, got the job done. Nia Jax defeated Alexa Bliss in 15 minutes.
That match was way too long.
Yes, it was. AJ Styles defeated Shinsuke Nakamura in 20 minutes. I was very surprised that Nakamura lost.
I was as well. Just quickly going back to the Nia Jax Alexa Bliss match.
Sorry.
I was, even though I thought the match was too long, I did like that they made it competitive. That instead of playing, you know, kind of the humor that Alexa Bliss is so tiny and she's just going to get smushed.
Yeah.
She has been a champion on both brands for the better part of a year.
Yes, she has.
You know, so the fact that she was able to take down Nia Jax and she was able to get her offense in and do stuff, you know, and there were points where I was like, wow, she could conceivably win this match, you know? Yep. That I appreciated that, but still, I mean, 15 minutes was crazy. You could have given, you know.
Yeah, they had a 10-minute match. It could have been 5, 6.
Yeah, the AJ Shinsuke match?
Yeah.
I'm very happy with how it ended because it leads to a whole feud instead of just I want a rematch for my belt.
Yeah, no, you're right, because if you want to include Wrestle Kingdom, they're now 1-1 in their singles matches against each other.
Okay.
You know, Nakamura beat AJ Styles and retained the IWGP Intercontinental Championship at Wrestle Kingdom 10 2 years ago. Now AJ Styles has defeated Nakamura and retained his title. They're 1-1. Nakamura turning heel, I said to Paul right after, I'm like, how are they going to make him a heel? Like, how is this going to work? Because he is so over. He's so loved. I mean, and then Tuesday night, me no speak English.
Was that not the best?
That was the absolute best.
Yeah, especially like, because he's talking earlier in the promo.
Yeah,
and then she's like, oh, why'd you do? Oh, I don't speak English. I'm like, oh, my goodness, he is amazing. Yeah.
It was the best. And, so I'm actually just that one promo is me going, okay, now I want to see this.
Yeah. And the thing is this, like he's been here for a couple years.
Yep.
He's good, but he's never had that, like that next level.
Yeah.
And I think him turning heel is going to get like give him an edge, a little bit of viciousness, something. Yep. You know, AJ is fantastic. So I think, you know, man, oh man, that the rematch is going to be unreal.
Yeah. So this was another match that surprised me with the finish. And it was funny because after he presented AJ with the belt, I'm sitting there and I said to Paul, I go, hit him in the dick. And I was just being sarcastic. And then he did. And I was like, it popped me. But yeah, after Tuesday night, I'm very much looking forward to, and like you say, you're right. Now this leads to having a reason to have more matches, not just I want my belt back.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman and John Cone's son, Nicholas, beat Cesaro and Sheamus in 4 minutes for the tag belts.
Don't care.
Yeah.
I don't and then like the main Sheamus event, and Cesaro. I don't get why they had to have a kid. There's so many things. And to be honest, this whole thing with Braun Strowman lately has made me like Braun Strowman less than I did.
I mean, this tag team push they're doing?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, there's no reason for it.
The guy is a monster.
Yeah.
He was involved in world title matches or universal title matches, which he should have won.
Yep.
And now you're having him win battle royals against every single tag team and beat up six guys at once. And it's like, come on. All you're doing is making these other wrestlers look like idiots.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I like Braun Strowman a lot. And I'm glad they relinquished the titles on Monday night because he needs to get back into a singles program with somebody.
Yep.
I don't care. I don't care if it's Bobby Lashley. I don't care who. Which I don't give two craps about Bobby Lashley being back, by the way. But I don't care who it is. But he needs to get into a singles push of some kind and not be involved in the tag team division.
Yep.
And then the main event, Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman defeated Roman Reigns to retain the Universal Championship in about 16 minutes.
This match was way better than I was expecting.
Yeah. I hate watching this match, by the way, because assumed Roman Reigns was going over. So I just watched it angry.
Yeah, well, not only that, I was ready to go to bed after AJ Nakamura.
Yeah.
In fact, I did get into bed and turn on the network on my smart TV in my bedroom. And I was like, if I fall asleep, I fall asleep because I don't care. And then the Strowman thing happened with the kid, and I was like irrationally angry at my television. And then this match happens, and I was like, I swear to God. And he kicks out of the F5, and then he kicks out of the F5, and then he
kicks out of five of them.
And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? You know? Like, listen, you got the Undertaker. He hits the tombstone on Cena, and Cena doesn't move. Last year, Reigns, did he kick out of a whole bunch of them? Am I remembering that right?
Oh, yeah, he kicked out of a couple.
You know, like, come on. This is why people hated Cena. This is why people don't like Reigns. You have a move that 90% of the roster takes one of, and they flop around and lie there like they're dead.
Oh, Kane, Strowman, just name two guys straight away that took one and done.
You know, but Reigns, like, his face is torn apart. He's gushing blood, and he's still kicking out of this crap. Like, come on. Not cool.
F5 kick out. That's when he took the gloves off and he dropped the elbows on his face. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And as soon as he busted him open, I was happy as shit. And I got right behind that. And then, but then he Supermaned up and he hit those two spears. And I thought,
Yeah, as soon as he hit the second spear and went for the pin, I was like, I swear to God, this is the most ridiculous thing. And then Brock Lesnar kicked out. And I was like, oh. Interesting.
And then he hit another F5 and won.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I don't have a lot of time left, so if you just want to quickly cover Raw SmackDown.
I could skip over Raw SmackDown for all I care.
Oh, okay. I mean, I thought maybe we'd talk about some of the call-ups or anything. Your phone is cutting in and out again.
Oh, okay, well, actually, the only other thing I want to talk, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, now I can.
Okay, the thing I want to talk about the most from this weekend that we didn't talk about was Joey Janela's Spring Break 2 on Saturday Night at Midnight featured a match that you need to track down if you can. It was Walter versus CPO, Car Pierre Ouellet, or Jean-Pierre Lafitte, or one half of the Quebecers. Whatever you want to call him. Holy shit. CPO is 52, something like that. These guys tore the house down. I mean, they beat... CPO, I think, is certifiably crazy. They beat the crap out of each other. He did like a moonsault onto the floor. CPO did. I mean, this match was crazy good. Crazy, 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 crazy good. I cannot believe how good it was. So that's that. that's my from all the indie shows that weekend, that's my big push. Go find this match. My buddy Brandon watched Supercard of Honor. Supercard of Honor 12. And he did a whole write-up over on my blog, The Wrestling Insomniac. And he was not a fan of that show. And other than the six-man ladder match, I did not hear a whole lot of people that were a fan of that show at all. So I want to talk about that. Do you want to talk about the call-ups real quick? Go ahead. I didn't really watch Raw or SmackDown. I read the results and I watched some clips.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of fast-forwarded through most of Raw because I didn't care much. But yeah, I mean, let's see. They brought up No Way Jose for some apparent reason. He conga lined down to the ring with the Rosebuds or whatever they're called now. And he punched a guy once and won and then conga his way out. So he will probably be, you know, just like Ty Dillinger in about
a month
next week. Ember Moon came up.
And don't care.
I don't really care.
Not a fan of hers.
You had the Authors of Pain come up.
I did not like how they Paul Ellering after their match.
You cut out. I didn't hear what you said.
You know, like, I get that Ellering... I said I don't like how they dismissed Paul Ellering after their match.
Okay.
I get that Ellering is, you know, doesn't want to be on the road for a long term anymore. But, I don't know. They could have handled it differently. He could have cut a promo saying they are ready to go on without him.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. And then you had, who else was it? Bobby Lashley came in. And you're gone again.
Huh?
You're gone again.
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, now you're here.
Yeah. But after the Authors of Pain, who else got called up on Raw?
Well, Lashley showed up.
Oh, yeah, Lashley showed up.
Yeah. SmackDown, you had the Charlotte came out to cut a promo about how great she is. Right. Yes. So.
And then, who's going to be the next challenge? It was a great promo. Oh, I did see this.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. And then you had Billy Kay and Peyton Royce come out.
The Iconics, I think, is what they're calling themselves now.
I think that's what they said.
Instead of the Iconic Duo, they're going with the Iconics.
Yeah, and the two of them cut a great promo as they were coming down and then beat the tar out of Charlotte. And then, of course, Carmella comes running down with the Money in the Bank briefcase. And the referee apparently became stupid for 7 minutes.
Mike Chioda.
I want to cash it in. Do you want to cash this in?
You want to do this now?
You want to cash this in? You sure?
You serious? You want to do this now? That was bad. That was so bad.
Yeah, you watched it after I talked to you about it, right?
Yeah, I had to. After you told me how stupid it was, I had to go find it.
It could have been a Ziggler moment with him running down.
Yeah.
You know, and cashing it right after and everyone going nuts. And instead, she comes running down, grabs the ref, drags him into the ring and hands it to him. And he's like, duh.
Yeah.
Are you sure? And then he's still like, he takes the briefcase and he's all confused and he walks over to the announcer and he's like,
she wants to check this in.
What are you doing? And then the thing that was getting me more angry was, I mean, look, I like Charlotte having the belt. But the thing, I hate when they do stupid crap, and that's the reason why the cash-in won't work.
Yep.
You know? So I'm like, oh my goodness, they're going to waste so much time that Charlotte's going to be like, oh, I'm not actually hurt after all. I can do my move and beat you, and you just lost your thing.
Yeah.
But
no, she lost, and we have a new champion.
It was done so bad.
Was there any other call-ups on SmackDown?
No, that was it.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I expected Almas, but maybe we'll get him in the Superstar Shakeup.
Yeah, I was expecting a lot more because, look, I get Raw has an extra hour. But it's ridiculous that they're always like, oh, we get three picks to your two. But, like, you're going to bring up five or six people, throw them on Raw, and two on SmackDown?
You know, I would like to see
KO and Sami Zayn not there for now. Yeah.
I would like them. I'd like to see them create a women's tag team championship.
Yeah.
Personally, so
yeah, that would be nice.
They could have it featured on both shows.
Yeah.
if need be. But I'd like to see a women's tag team championship.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. You know. Oh, I guess we should mention that Paige retired from in-ring competition.
Yeah.
And then she was announced as the new GM of SmackDown because Daniel Bryan has resigned because he is now a full-time competitor again.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I guess in a way, Daniel Bryan is a call-up on the roster.
There you go. Oh, so they announced that they're going to have a UK... So they announced on a video package that it was going to be a UK King of the Ring tournament. And then the UK championship... Then they announced it's a UK championship tournament. So I don't know. But they're having a tournament this summer at Royal Albert Hall in 2 days in June. And the winner's going to get a title match against whoever the champion is at that time, which currently is Pete Dunne.
Right.
And they're doing the Women's Classic 2 this summer, the Mae Young Classic 2.
I can dig it.
At some point this summer. And then Something to Wrestle With, Bruce Pritchard, is coming to the network, a new show called Something Else to Wrestle With. So it's not gonna change his podcast at all.
Yep, just extra stuff, which I'm totally okay with.
Yep, absolutely. So, and I guess that's everything for me.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
Cool. All right, brother. Well, hey, thanks for doing this today.
Not a problem.
At the last minute like we did. And I'm on Twitter at SuperstarML.
I am on Twitter at Aaron S. Bell.
The show is 1,000 Holds Pod.
Correct.
I got it right.
Yeah.
Facebook podcast for 1,000 Holds. And I guess that's it. Thanks.
That's a podcast!
I've missed that so much.